If you've ever been around churches for long enough, you will come across times when there are conflicts. And some of you, and I certainly have been through occasions where there's been quite substantial splits in churches because of those conflicts. And conflicts can happen for a variety of reasons. They can happen because difference of opinion about what the direction of the church, or even the style of the church, or even the music of the church, whether they should have contemporary music and contemporary instruments, or more traditional music and traditional instruments like organs and choirs or whatever. There's lots of different things that can cause splits in churches. And it can be serious theological disagreements. It can be about who is in positions of influence and leadership in churches. It can be about money. It can be about lots of different things. And all I know is that when churches go through splits, it's a painful time and it's a painful process. And I've been through a few of those in my time following Jesus through my life. And I reflect back on it and I think, maybe we could have done it better. I'm pretty sure that we could have done it better. And I'm putting it on myself that I could have done it better. You know, when I look back, there's things that I should have said differently, that I should have done differently, that I should have worked at doing differently. And maybe if I had done that, there would have been a different outcome. Maybe if I had done that, there would have been less heartache and pain. Maybe there would have been less division and a bit more unity. Maybe there would have been a lot of things. Maybe you've been through a church, some church conflict or church split like that sometime in your past. Maybe it's in the recent past, maybe it's in the distant past as well. And maybe you also have that sort of reflection, yes, we could have done it differently. Or maybe you're thinking, how could we have done it differently? What could have been the thing or the things that would have maybe given us a better chance of doing that? I mean, we sang earlier today the song, We Are One. And so often in church experience, it's sometimes the case, well, not so often, but sometimes it's the case where that's not the experience. That unity is not the experience, is it? And well, today and in the coming weeks, we have a challenge that hopefully we as a church can work through together in a helpful and way that grows us individually and grows us as a church. And that's how we are going to respond together to the opening up of churches and the vaccine restrictions and COVID restrictions that will remain in place. With the government saying, if you're going to meet together, you then have to check people's vaccine status on the way in, and people that aren't double vaccinated aren't allowed to be there. So there's going to be some challenges for us as a church as we try and deal with that, because guaranteed there are people in our church that have different views about that. And well thought out views and strongly held views. And this is an issue that has the potential to undermine our sense of unity as a community. Now, I think we, by and large, are a healthy church community, and we deal with issues and disagreements and conflicts quite well in the life of our church. But this will be the latest, the one that's coming up that we're going to have to try and deal with together. And we're going to, today I want us to refer to a passage of scripture that I hope will be the basis for us. And because you see, church difficulties are not new. In fact, they go all the way back to the early church. And they're not just, how we deal with things like vaccination and things like that, but they're deep things like theological differences about who's really a follower of Jesus. And are you part of the body of Christ? And what is it to be a faithful follower of Jesus? And in fact, you could argue that the whole letter of Romans, the sort of magnum opus of Paul, was actually written in response to one of these challenges. You see, the church in Rome had a difficulty where there was Jewish followers of Jesus and Gentile followers of Jesus, and there was differences of opinions about how Jewish you needed to be a follower of Jesus. And that meant what food you ate and what days you celebrated, and a thing that was a common thing is about whether people needed to be circumcised or not. And so Paul lays out a lot of theological foundation work that points out that everybody is in the same boat, that everybody needs God's grace, that God invites people into his family and calls them children of God through the work of Jesus and the work of the Spirit, whether they are from Jewish descendants or they're from Gentile descendants. And then when he's laid that theological framework, he talks about the need for people to act in love together, and then it comes to chapter 14 through to chapter 15, verse 13. And this is where he directly addresses the issue that was causing contention in the life of the church in Rome at that time. And it says this from chapter 14, verse 1. Except the one whose faith is weak, without quarrelling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows him to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. And it goes on through the rest of chapter 14 and into chapter 15. But you can see here that there is people on two sides of a contentious issue. Now, Paul describes them as the strong and the weak. And we are going to be having issues around COVID and vaccines and vaccine passports and things like that. And when you read through this chapter and try and apply it to our current circumstance, you might be wondering, am I on the weak side of the argument? Am I on the strong side of the argument? Well, I just want all of us to assume we're on the strong side of the argument. So there's parts of your point of view that you will hold strongly and other parts that you will hold weakly. There are parts of you that you think this is obviously clearly the right of your thinking and position that you think is obviously and clearly and right, and you'll be strong in that. And other people say, actually, you know what? I actually think it's different to that. And I don't want us to get into saying, I'm better than you because I'm this, I'm worse than you because I'm that. In fact, Paul here, whether they're in the passage, whether they're on the quote-unquote weak side or quote-unquote strong side, his advice to them is exactly the same. And he says, the two things that we need to avoid is judgment and condemnation. Contempt. Judgment and contempt. See, contempt is where we look down our noses at people and we regard them as less than us. And judgment is in some ways very analogous to that, where we pass judgment over the thinking or the attitude or the actions or the demeanor or whatever it is of other people. And here Paul says you must not treat people with contempt and you must not judge the other person. Because the other person is a child of God, is loved by God, and God is able to make them stand. God accepts them. So who are we not to do that? So let's read on. The one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they can give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat, God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will have to give an account to God. And Paul returns back to these themes of judgment and contempt. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. And then Paul talks about his conviction about his particular side of the argument about cleanness and uncleanness of food. But then in verse 15, if your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know to be good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And there's just much more in this passage where Paul exhorts, even the next verse, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. And then talks about keeping whatever, keeping things between yourselves and God, and bearing with other people, and doing things to please the other person. And so here we have, you can summarize it all by saying, and Paul is telling the Romans, don't judge each other, don't treat each other with contempt, accept one another, be clear about what your position is and you're thinking about it, but act in love towards the other person. Don't destroy the work of God because of your position or their position. Love the other person, please the other person. And then if we do that, we have the best chance of maintaining the unity of the Spirit that God creates, because we are part of God's family. So that's the teaching and challenge of Romans 14. It goes from 14 verse 1 to 15 verse 13. And I encourage you to read and reread that passage. But I want to finish our time together by just doing some things that I hope will help us help us with this. And because the first thing is if we want to accept the other person, it'll really be helpful to us if we understand something about the other person. And it will, and a good place to start is actually to start with understanding a bit about ourselves. And so I'm just going to run through four different things that where we are different. And this is not so much to do with the content of the issue, and we'll get to that in a moment, but this is about how we are different. And we can sometimes assume that everybody views things exactly the same as us, but that is not the case. People view things differently to others. And being aware of how we view things can be really helpful to being able to understand and therefore accept others. The first one is that facts have feelings. Facts are not just facts. They always have feelings associated with them. If you hear a fact that confirms your current position, it will make you feel good. If you hear a fact that challenges your current position, it'll make you feel uneasy. In fact, if you hear a fact from somebody you agree with politically, philosophically, or theologically, you are more likely to accept it. If you hear a fact from a person that you disagree with philosophically, theologically, or politically, you are less likely to accept it. Facts aren't just facts. When we hear them and integrate them, we have feelings in response to them, and that influences the way that we respond to them. And so when we're thinking about ourselves and the issue of COVID, we need to think about the feelings that facts about infection rates or sicknesses or vaccines or government directives, we need to be attentive to and aware of the feelings that we have about those things. And then we need to seek to understand what are the feelings that other people might have about those things. This is not about agreeing with other people or changing our position to be the same as their position or changing their position to be the same as our position. This is about understanding their position. Facts have feelings. Secondly, actions have meanings. For one person, getting a vaccination has the meaning of being a sensible medical thing to do. For another person, getting a vaccine can mean they are being unfaithful to God or abandoning their community. For another person, the prospect of getting a vaccine means they have to process or deal with past bad experiences with the medical establishment. And for another person, getting a government-mandated vaccine is crossing a red line in giving in to authoritarianism. And that's potentially nothing to do with vaccine skepticism. It's just a political reaction, you see. So we often have, we think about the action like taking a vaccine as it has a meaning to me, and it's obvious that everybody else has the same meaning to that action. But hopefully I've demonstrated that that is not the case. And we need to listen attentively to other people to understand the meanings for them of certain actions, so that we can understand them and then move to accepting them. Thirdly, so firstly, facts have feelings. Secondly, actions have meanings. Thirdly, people prefer to receive information in different ways. Some people are intuitives who like to deal in abstract ideas, and when they hear those ideas, they are really real to them. Other people are sensors who like to deal with details and concrete examples. And until they actually see it with their eyes or hold it with their hands or have an experience of it themselves, it's not quite real for them. And it's not that these people, one of these is bad and one of these is good. It's, we need both people. We need the people that have the abstract ideas and can grapple with them and prefer them. And we also need people who say, well, show me the details. Give me the concrete examples. And this will, for example, lead to differences in the way people respond to statistical information about infections compared to knowing someone who's been infected, or the percentage of risks of blood clots with AstraZeneca versus knowing someone who's ended up in ICU. And just being aware of how we prefer to receive information and understanding that it might be different to the way other people prefer to receive information can be really helpful. And the fourth thing is people adopt things at different rates. And there's a thing called the adoption curve. And I'm just going to quickly put up a diagram here for a moment that shows us this. And here's the adoption curve. When new information or new ideas or new actions come about, there are people adopt them at different rates. Some people are innovators and they just rush into it headlong. Others are early adopters. Other people hang back a bit. Other people hang back a lot. And other people hardly ever embrace the new thing. And as we go into a new situation with COVID and vaccinations and vaccine mandates and vaccine passports and reopening and all those sorts of things, we just need to understand that where the sort of people we are and the sort of people other people are. Because again, we can assume that people are the same as us when in fact they're different. And it's not that being an early adopter is the right thing to do and being a late adopter is the wrong thing to do, or being the late adopter is the right thing to do and being an early adopter is the wrong thing to do. We need both sorts of people. We need people who lead the way and take risks and go first. And we need other people to hang back and see how things go then make decisions after they've seen how things have gone. You see, it's not, again, that one is better and one is worse. They're just different. And understanding who we are and understanding who other people are can help us understand them and accept them. The challenge in this circumstance is that some of us might be being asked to move at rates that we usually don't move at. We be asked to change things or make decisions either faster or slower than is our preference. And that can be uncomfortable to us. And being aware of that and in ourselves and others and acknowledging that can be really helpful. So there are four things that will help us if we keep in mind, they're a framework, if you like, that will help us keep in mind differences between ourselves and others. Facts have feelings, actions have meanings, people have preferred ways of receiving information, and people adopt things at different rates. Now we get down to the substantive issues and about going forward, how we as a church are going to try and manage and decide and discern our way forward with different points of view as we come to be able to meet together in person again. And there are three overlapping areas that we need to be aware of: safety, inclusion, and compliance. Safety, about acting to minimise the risk of infections, hospitalisations and even death, compliance following government directives, and inclusion, including everybody from the body of Christ in church gatherings. And these are three hopefully overlapping areas, and each of us are going to have stronger views about some parts of those, and each of us are going to have different views about different parts of those. And our aim as a church is not to have us all thinking the same, but it's to be about aware of where our position is, aware and accepting of other people's positions, and together trying to figure out, God, what's the unique way forward for our community? What's the way, loving way forward for us that will maintain our unity, God, while being aware and taking account of different people's concerns? And so we are going to work at doing that over the coming weeks. And the first thing that we want you to do is read Romans 14 to 15. Secondly, we want you to do some, spend some time reflecting on yourself and your positions and how, what feelings you have, what meanings you have, the way you receive information, the way you adopt new, the speed at which you adopt new things. And your position internally about safety, inclusion, and compliance. And then in our home churches today, we're going to have a chance to help us put ourselves in the shoes of other people. Now, we don't want you in your home churches this morning to have a debate about the merits of different positions. That is not what we want to. Now, if you want to get into that debate at some time in your home church, that's fantastic and make a time to do that. But the thing that we want you to do today is to try and put yourself in the shoes of an other person to understand their thoughts and feelings. And so to do that, we have created a few different case studies of fictional people. They are not people from our church. We've used names of people that aren't in our church. They aren't any one particular person in our church, but they are different points of view of people that can have different views of safety, inclusion, and compliance. And what we want you to do together as a group is to try and to have a discussion together about how might this sort of person be feeling about meeting together with vaccine mandates and vaccine passports. What might this person be thinking about what that means? And then how might we as a church act in love towards them? So we're not asking anybody to disclose their personal point of view. We're not asking you to take a risk of sticking your head over the wall and risking it might get shot off by other people. We don't want any of that happening in this next immediate time. We want you to spend the time considering other potential positions so that we can begin to understand them better and lead to accept them better. And the second thing we want, then the next thing we want you to do is we want you to personally and confidentially and privately let me know your thoughts and concerns about safety and compliance and inclusion for how we plan to gather together as a church. And the reason, again, I want you to do that is so that will help me then begin to understand what's the best way for us to figure that out as a church. Are there, for example, in our church, is there a broad agreement about certain things and then a small number of people who disagree? Or is there substantial parties of groups of people that disagree about certain things or have different views or different concerns? And so rather than sort of risking having to share it with everybody, and I'm not going to share your position with other people, but I want to get the range of views and the range of concerns and the range of positions so we can begin to discern what ways are in terms of conversations or group meetings or whatever else is the best way for us to go forward so that we can together discern what's our unique solution in our church for the overlapping of safety, inclusion, and compliance. We're not expecting it'll be the same for every church or other churches will have the same answers as us because different churches will have different concerns and made up of different people. But what we want to do is try and find the wise way that we can take account of people's points of view and what they're able to do in good conscience and how we can act in love to each other, particularly those who are different to us. So in summary, we want to read Romans 14. We want to reflect and understand ourselves. We want to understand others by considering case studies in our home churches. And I want to repeat again, it's not about having a debate about whether the positions are good or bad. You will never convince everybody that your position is the right position. And another person will never convince everybody else that their position is the right position. We're not trying to do that in this next moment. We're trying to increase understanding to lead to acceptance. But we do want to know your thoughts and concerns so that we can take them into account as we seek to find and discern a way forward, a wise and loving way forward for us as a church. And so that's something that's going to roll out and we're going to figure out over the next few weeks. But the thing today is to start trying to put ourselves in the shoes of other people. And then I want you to email me. I want you to ring me. I want you to text me. I want you to message me in our online community or by any other means, just to pass on confidentially your concerns about those three areas of safety, inclusion, and compliance. Let's pray. God, thank you that being part of your family is bigger than COVID, is bigger than vaccinations and mandates and passports. Lord, because we are all your children and we're saved by grace, and you will make a stand because that's what you're doing, because you're our loving God. God, we pray that you would help us as a church community to navigate this issue with wisdom and maturity and sensitivity. God, may we learn better to deal with differences between us in this situation, but also going forward in the rest of our Christian lives. Lord, may we take the wisdom of Romans 14 and figure out how it applies to us at Encounter Baptist in 2021. Lord, give us discernment to understand ourselves better. And give us discernment to understand other people better. Lord, that in humility we may act in love towards each other, accept each other, and find a way forward together to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.